Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 163 for Friday, December 6th, 2013. Welcome to December already. Thank you for coming back after we all took off the Thanksgiving holiday here in the States. For those of you not in the States, well, you know, it was Thursday, so we didn't do a podcast. Whatever. I'm Phil Dickinson, host of the show and editor of AndroidCentral.com, and we got a cool one coming up, I think. We got a special guest. Somebody, we've been remiss in not having you on before. J.R. Raphael from... Well, remind me of all the places you write, because you're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, a little bit of everywhere, and thanks for having me. It's, yeah, I don't know why all this time, I always think, yeah, we need to do something, so I'm glad we are. Most of my stuff these days is at Computer World. I have a blog there called Android Power, and I also do phone and tablet reviews and also some Chromebook kind of reviews for them. And then periodically you might see me pop up at such places as InfoWorld, IT World, PC World. If it's got World on the back of it, I'm probably there at some point. Sea World every now and then, ride on a dolphin just for the hell of it. So
I get Sea World spam, actually. I get email from them, and I don't know why. It's really weird. Now I know why.
That was me. Yeah. Sorry about that.
And in Seattle, we've got Andrew Martinick.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. It's been a hell of a week, guys. I don't know about you. I'm tired. I'm excited. I'm like a good, excited, tired. You know, that exhausted feeling that feels good at the same time.
I think it's been that way since, like, August. Nonstop. It's been that way since, it's been a crazy last part of the year.
It's been that way through, like, 2010, man.
Yeah, true, fair.
What do you guys want to talk about? Where do you want to start? I guess I should at least mention I'm back. I was in San Francisco at the first half of the week, and we'll have stuff coming out from that later. There was no secret Nexus meeting, guys. I know every time I go out to California, it's like, ooh, he's going to a Nexus. No. I took new pictures at the Googleplex because we needed
And a couple creepy ones.
Which ones?
With you sticking your head through the donut.
Yeah, our production people are like, Phil, go stand in the donut. And, okay, I'll stand in the donut. So that's all that was. I'm not under embargo for anything.
You mean you didn't cover the Nexus 10 launch that was confirmed to happen on Friday and Monday?
Oh, I know.
Both of those?
Yeah. Sigh. No, so we'll have stuff coming out of that eventually, but not just yet, so hang in there. What do you guys want to start with? We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. We got to start with Android 4.4.1, right? Probably.
Yeah.
Bug fixes.
It just happened.
Bug fixes, mostly, I think.
Camera improvements on the Nexus 5. Well, improvements, they say.
Yeah, let's talk about this. I saw The Verge got a preview of it and talking about all these massively better cameras. I tell you, anytime somebody tells me how great a camera is, I get twitchy. Because we've been burned on that how many times.
They said the Moto X was a great camera.
They said the Moto X, they said the Galaxy Nexus, the Nexus. Like, every time a phone comes out, this is the best camera in the history of cameras and phones and... Really, nobody other than like Samsung and mostly HTC with the One, but not 100%. Nobody comes close. And even HTC, I think, oversold it a little bit, especially with as confusing as some of that camera software was. Mm-hmm. It's just anytime somebody talks about how awesome their camera is, I cringe a little bit because you know something bad's coming.
Yeah, it seems like passable. Pretty good at times is the best you can hope for. Maybe sort of good most of the time. But yeah, a lot of these companies, and I mean, Google too with the Nexus 5 from the get-go has been marketing it as the camera and capture all the moments that matter, which it seems like a weird point to focus on. There are a lot of good things about the Nexus 5, but that's not what you would think would be the one you'd highlight.
I don't know. I mean, Andrew, I kind of get the feeling this was... almost like they had to push it out to meet that Halloween deadline. Like somebody said, we're going to push this for Halloween. It's Kit Kat, it's candy, it's Halloween. We have to get it done. We had things like that audio bug that I found. The camera obviously needed a little work. There's some other things that have been fixed and improved. The whole thing feels a little faster, and I know we always say that with updates, but it really does. I think some things were tweaked there. Andrew, do you think, was it rushed out? Is this just kind of a maintenance release? We had a month to figure it out.
It feels like the things that were improved in the camera, like having the progress bar for HDR and switching between HDR and normal seems a little faster, focusing might be a little faster, those kind of tweaky things. It's kind of hard to believe that they just whipped those up in a few weeks, like they weren't already working on those things ahead of time. Those really feel like features that should have been in there, but it's hard to say how hard those were to implement. I'm sure they're much harder than I could ever imagine. But it's hard to say that what they've done here is actually drastically improved the camera. So that's the other side of it. It kind of feels like it was last minute.
I haven't really gotten to play with it. I saw Alex was taking pictures, and he's taking the night off to go enjoy some frosty beverages, I think. His take on it was kind of like, okay, it's quicker, but now there's more noise.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. As soon as I installed it, I was just, you know, taking random pictures to compare between HDR and normal. And, you know, the Nexus 5, if you've played with one for very long, you know that it has trouble locking focus, and it'll hunt really a long time to try to focus, and then it'll tell you that it's in focus, but it's clearly way, way away from that. And so what it does now is it just reaches that same conclusion faster, which... that's not really the, I mean, what you would prefer is that it just locked focus and was actually in focus, not that it did the poor thing faster. And HDR seems to capture a little faster and gives you a progress bar. But if it's, you know, if it can't keep the shutter open as long, you're just going to get more noise because it's going to have to post-process those things more to even them out. So it kind of feels like a side grade. A lot of people complained about the shutter speed, so maybe they're just trying to fix that problem and go from there.
It seems, I don't know, I'm getting burned out on that stuff. I just want a camera that's decent, and I don't want to be like, every new phone, it's always, oh, software will fix the camera. Just wait for the update software, and it gets old. I just want somebody to launch one that doesn't do that to me.
LG did it with the G2. I mean, that just has a great camera out of the box.
Yeah, okay.
But other than that, no. I mean, we saw the Moto X come out with a pretty lackluster camera, and it got slightly less lackluster with an update. They fixed a lot of issues that, again, probably should have been there at launch. The fixes should have been there at launch. I mean, are we really going to expect like 3 or 4 more updates just markedly improve the camera every time? Probably not.
Yeah, you can't. JR, you use a lot of phones too. Really, if you're going to get a good camera on a phone, where do you need to look? I mean, is Android even the right platform to look for at that point? Like, if that's the most important thing to you?
Yeah, it's a tough call. You know, I did, and I know you guys did too recently, kind of best Android phones you can buy for the holiday season sort of post recently. And I actually wanted to include a best, because I broke it down by category, best phone for this, best phone for that. I wanted to include a best phone for photography, and just kind of decided not to, because there really isn't, it, like we were saying a minute ago, the best you can hope for is that it's pretty good, that you can get pretty good pictures. There's not really, no one's really taken the crown yet of we're going to be the one who just dominates when it comes to really high quality photography.
It's really, I think, these two phones that I'm holding in my hand here. Oh, I lost my background. Oh, no. Wow.
You're ready to cast.
I am ready to cast. I'm using Chromecast for that now, which is awesome, except for when it doesn't work. Actually, I can do it from here. Yeah, I mean, the 1020 and the 1520, I get the 1520 is huge, by the way. The Lumia 1520, I finally saw that this week in California. I just don't see any Android phones doing it.
Yeah, the door's wide open, and hopefully maybe next year someone's going to step in and step up to the plate and say, hey, we're going to be the ones who make photography our thing. You know, we've got different, each manufacturer's kind of got their thing. HTC looked like it was trying to make photography its thing. It just didn't quite get there all the way. So, yeah, it's, I don't know that there is any one phone within Android that stands out. There are several that are decent, but I don't know that there's one that's just awesome when it comes to that. I think we lost Phil. Did he go try to fix his Chromecast?
Oh. I was waiting for him to turn and come back with a witty response, and it didn't happen.
No, he ditched us. He ditched us.
Sorry.
By the way, Phil, I was looking at your Chromecast there. I just noticed on mine a minute ago that I got the firmware update and now have a different little home screen background. I don't think had that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I haven't even seen it, so how different does it look?
It's different. It's nice. It's, what it does is it kind of transitions through different pictures instead of just staying on one, and it's got a clock on it. It didn't have the ready-to-cast thing. It was just basically a big picture, credit for who took it, and then a clock in one corner from what I passed through the living room and saw it. So nice little change. Nothing earth-shattering.
I'll have to unplug mine when we're done and see. Do you know what I was thinking about as we're all doing kind of our year-end things? Like, what is the number one thing that Google has done this year? Like, what's whether it's an OS version, whether it's a product, and I'm kind of leaning toward Chromecast being that thing, at least for me.
They've really been pounding home the commercials for the Chromecast, individual ones for YouTube and Google Play Movies, and now HBO Go. It really seems like they're getting ready for to sell a whole boatload of these for the holidays and just leverage that.
Yeah. Oh, and in 441, display mirroring? What do they call it in the settings? It now says cast.
Mm-hmm. So they're taking that branding. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Chromecast is the most interesting thing, which is funny because it's the cheapest and simplest. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, we use the hell out of that thing in my house. We've got a couple of them, and they're just fantastic. I mean, $35. Come on.
$35 works on iOS, so my wife can use it with her iPhone. My kids know how to use it.
I'd say, aside from that, and of course we're getting a little outside of direct Android stuff here, but kind of Motorola on the whole, to me, has been a pretty big development this year. I mean, yeah, of course, they bought it a while back, but this is the year where we're first starting to see kind of the fruits of that purchase with the X and the G. I mean, I'm excited to see where that's going to go from here, because I think they're off to a pretty interesting start.
And it's still early, too. That's the other thing. Like, this is just their first two phones. The Moto G, by the way, you can order it now. And I guess, God, Motorola had so many problems this week for that sale for the X.
That was a mess.
Horrible. I woke up early in California and was trying to buy something, and it took like an hour for it to finally go through. But yeah, I mean, you've got a Moto G, don't you?
Yeah, I've got one. Let me figure out which one it is. Yep. Yeah.
I don't even have one yet. Actually, Jerry's got ours.
This is X, this is G. So, pretty similar. I mean, really, just at a glance, you wouldn't know. It's a lot chunkier, just kind of in the feel and the build. It's basically what you'd expect. It's a less nice version of the Moto X. It's a budget version. And within that parameter of budget, I think it's a great phone. But that said, if you're looking for the kind of more premium experience, you certainly wouldn't say it's as good as the Moto X or as good as any high-end phone, but for a budget phone, right. I mean, it's a great experience, and compared to the garbage that's been out there in the budget realm thus far, I mean, it's a whole different in a whole different league for sure.
I've got one on the way, and by the way, we'll say it here first. I might have a few to give away as well, because frankly, they were so cheap, it was kind of hard not to buy a whole bunch at one time. So we'll be giving some away, hopefully in time for Christmas. I assume they're going to ship next week, so.
Didn't they say originally it was shipping like, what, the 4th or 5th or something? I thought it was supposed to be this week, but I don't know if they hit that.
The website said the 2nd, but as soon as you ordered, the email said the 9th. So, I don't know.
Under promise, over deliver situation there.
So, yeah, something's weird. Hey, I keep forgetting, we got the Q&A going. You want to answer some questions?
Sure.
Let's do it.
So, Ben says, any news on the Nexus 10? Nope.
Ah, there it is.
Oh, it's been there for weeks and weeks. People asking about the Nexus 10, and we don't know what the heck's going on there.
Well, Phil does, but he's under embargo and can't tell us.
No,
he's being a real jerk.
Stop it. I have no idea. Do you guys think that we will see an update to the Moto X after the 441 from Nexus devices? I don't know. That comes from Pablo.
It just depends. I mean, we saw it on Nexus 7, Nexus 4. Most of the update was just for camera fixes and stuff on the Nexus 5. So it depends if what's there is applicable. I think, if none of it's really applicable and you just want that version update, if it doesn't actually do anything for you, then stop hunting for the version number.
It's not unprecedented though, right? I mean, we've seen, in fact, I know for a fact there was a version number specifically for, I think it was an HTC device. I don't remember which one. Then ended up never being released, but it was a different version number that nobody else had. But it's been a while since we've seen that, I think.
I mean, each time you get, milestones where you see devices released, like no devices came out with like 4.2 on board. A lot of them came 4.2.2 because there were two rapid updates that, were important. It could be that, 4.4.1 just, we saw Motorola just skip 4.3. On their updates, so a smaller point release wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, didn't it happen with the Nexus 4 too? Wasn't there a didn't it actually launch or right after it launched go to 4.1.2 something one. That sounds familiar.
I remember a lot of people had updates out of the box with that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an update that came out right. I'm trying to remember.
It would have been 4.2.1, right?
It was the night before. It might have been the night before the embargo lifted on reviews. Maybe.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was right around the time when.
Because I was in New York for something else. Yeah, it was something weird. So yeah, I mean, it's not unprecedented. It's kind of strange and annoying, I guess. But I don't know. Hey, JR, Braden has a question. Does the Moto G have a wireless display capability?
I don't think it does. Let me double check because my brain is getting mixed up from there's been so many phones around lately. But yeah, I don't. I want to say no. I'm looking under display and there's nothing there. Yeah. You know, pretty much all the bells and whistles are not there. It's a very basic device. And it's an interesting point too. A lot of people have been curious about how it compares with the Moto X. You know, in terms of software, most of the kind of cool add-on features that they put onto the X are not there, which is presumably a hardware limitation. You don't get the active display, you know, where stuff pops up when you lift it up. That doesn't happen on this one. It's an LCD screen, not an AMOLED. So, you know, that makes sense. And then you also don't have the always listening kind of thing. Again, probably hardware related. It does have Assist, the program, kind of very tester light sort of thing that they built into it. But the feature that made Assist cool in Moto X, to me at least, the driving mode is not in here. So it's really low level stuff. You know, it does have trusted Bluetooth on there. It doesn't have the Motorola Connect where you can use the Chrome extension. So you kind of get the basics and not much more. It does have the near stock Android interface. You know, it's still nice and clean, pretty much looks like, well, at this point, Jelly Bean, but they're saying it'll get KitKat by early next year.
That trusted Bluetooth is probably still the number one thing I'm missing when I go back from the Moto X to the Nexus 5. I'm really surprised that didn't get built into Android just in and of itself.
It'd be really interesting to know what the actual dynamic is, you know, behind the closed doors at Google between Motorola and Android. We know we hear all the stuff that there's a firewall, but you got to wonder if there's ever anything, any little passing in the hall, or if they're really completely isolated and separate. I mean, I guess Motorola is mainly Chicago, so maybe it is. Maybe they really do stick to that firewall thing. But it'd be interesting to know.
I'm sure it's probably a little thicker of a wall than a lot of us realize. But at the same time, there's a lot of former Googlers now. I don't know. It's weird. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing I think I'm missing from the Moto X. And I've been bouncing back and forth still. I do have a new phone. I have a couple new phones, actually. But I have this thing. Can you see it?
Bendy.
Watch.
Did you, like, leave that out in the sun or something? And it got...
bad.
Yeah, I've got the G Flex. This is the Korean one. We put up like a preview today. I'm not gonna review a phone after like 50 hours.
That doesn't work in the United States.
That doesn't work in Wi-Fi. The U.S. Though it does have. I love the antennas that are on these Korean phones. It's so awesome. I wish we could actually get TV. It's so much fun. I know the engineers hate it because like they would love to have that space back. But yeah, it is a giant 6-inch phone here.
The thing is huge.
Here it is next to the G2. This is the Verizon G2. You can see how much bigger it is. I've got, where did I put? It's way over there. It's actually just a tiny bit smaller than the HTC One Max. Here it is next to the Moto X.
Wow, that's crazy.
So can we just agree that that is just too big for really, normal people to use?
It's a really big phone. No, I mean, look, a lot of people use the Note.
No, but this is way beyond the Note.
It's not that far beyond the Note.
I could manage the Note in one hand, but the HTC One Max and the G Flex look, they're way beyond that. I mean, the Note is manageable, especially the Note 3 because they shrunk the bezels a lot and everything.
Right. Well, okay, so here's what's going on. It's a curved phone, not just the display, but the entire body of the phone is curved, right? You have to be living under a rock to not know this by now, but I'm going to go through it anyway. The whole thing is very slightly flexible to the point where, basically, if you were to sit on it, it would flatten out, and we've all seen GIFs and videos. And it, you know, stretches back into the curved form, which actually looks like this, like I'm showing muscles. I think people are kind of fixated on that, and it's cool. It's certainly a novelty, and it's certainly, you know, a big bullet point, and you're going to see it in marketing. and I think LG is actually going to do a really good job on that. They've done a really good marketing job with the G2. But, I mean, it's not like, hey, I have this curved phone. I must bend it while I'm talking on the phone or while I'm looking up something on the internet or sending. No, that's not how it works. It's just kind of this design feature that we're going to see in more phones coming down the road. But, I don't hold the Moto X and say, gee, I wish this phone bended. I wish it curved. I mean, curve I get, right? People say it fits your face better, feels your hand, whatever. But that you can actively bend this stuff just means nothing to me.
So do you put it pretty high up on the gimmick spectrum, kind of more of a marketing thing, you think, at this point?
No, actually, I don't. But that's only because it's a... I'm not sure what to call it. I've been trying to find the right words for it this week. It's not just a gimmick. It's just it's going to be part of how things are, I think. They're going to be a little flexible. Curved phones will become the norm, maybe not every phone. LG says 40% of smartphones they expect to be curved by 2018 or 2020. They gave us both dates, whatever. You know, it's not that the curved phone does anything differently. I assume it messes with radios somehow, probably, because everything does, but I don't know. I think maybe the bigger deal is the self-healing coating that's on the plastic, although when I finally did my one scratch test today, the scratch is still there. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, it's not big. I made it real small on purpose, but I can see it. It's there.
Use a key, or was that like an actual knife cut? What do you do?
I actually used, I think it's the Nexus 5 SIM adapter I just had sitting here. Nice. And yeah, I mean, so it's supposed to hold up to, you know, like maybe keys in your pocket or change, and just those little nicks that you get. So maybe I just hit it just right in one of those ways that you're not supposed to do it.
I mean,
then the scratch will stay. I don't know.
Really glossy plastic backs. I mean, they pick up kind of those swirly scratches all over them, you know, over time from sliding around on tables and stuff. And even if it doesn't heal every scratch, obviously there's no way they can guarantee that. Even if it just, you know, your phone looks 50% better, you know, at the end of a year of sliding around on a table, that's a market improvement.
And that's what I worry about, because this phone's going to get out there and it's going to be all this marketing behind self-healing, you know, scratch your phone and watch it grow back together like a lizard's tail or something. I don't know. And people are going to say, wait, I still have scratches. This thing doesn't work. It's going to be a mess. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great marketing thing, because that sounds so... I mean, it sounds like magic. Like, you can scratch it and it'll heal, but... yeah, and I saw, I think what you mentioned in... I think it was your actual post, or maybe it was on Google Plus, where you said that it would be way more useful on the screen. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point, too. I mean, it is cool, and hopefully it'll lead to bigger things, but yeah, I think on the screen is where you could really use something like that, which who knows if we'll ever reach that point where they can apply the same concept.
And again, is this just some sort of gimmicky feature, or is it just going to be, hey, here's whatever that we use on our plastic phones now. It's going to be able to heal itself a little bit. Let's not make a huge deal out of it. It's just, this is what we're going to use. It's the same. Apparently, there's the same sort of thing for car paint. I didn't know that.
I think it could be something, it could kind of be both. I mean, they have to, there's going to be a first phone that has a new technology at some point, and they have to make a big deal out of it. And then, you know, down the line when their next entire line or whatever of 2015 or 2016 phones have it, then they can say, like, this is the hallmark. One of the hallmarks of LG phones is they just have this special, you know, patented or whatever they have on it coating that, you know, people just kind of know that those are devices that don't get as scratched as, you know, a Samsung phone with similar plastic.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I'm seeing it. So that's why... I've been kind of bristling a little bit when I see all these headlines of, you know, I think somebody called it the Wolverine phone. Like it heals itself like it's a friggin' X-Man or something. It's like, no, it's not. It's really not that kind of mutant phone. It's just...
Right. I mean, you drop your phone on concrete, it's still going to have a big nick in the corner that's not going to heal itself. It's still plastic.
I tell you, the plastic I've fallen in love with is just what Nokia uses. This is kind of the same sort of thing like HTC had in the One X, but I mean that's just a solid, well put together phone. Did a really nice job with that. What else? What else on the Flex? So the software I think is actually getting a little bit better. The UI is a little more mature. My battery's almost dead on this thing.
That's really a bit of faint praise, it feels like, Phil.
Well, sure. Yeah, look, really. LG's had a long way to come, but that's one of the first things I noticed. Let's see if you can see this on screen. Will it move? It's got this cool, like, motion You can see it a little bit in the lock screen. I think it's got a couple of those.
They've always been good about putting in those little touches that are cool, but then they throw in so much in there that...
Right.
I guess it's kind of the overall approach and to a degree kind of like what Samsung does, which I know you guys have talked about too, but I don't know, with LG even more so, it feels like they're just trying to grasp at anything that'll make them different. It's like, we've got this, we've got that, we've got the self-healing thing, we've got the curve. So I don't know, I'd be curious to see how much of it sticks or if they just keep adding more and more onto it of, you know, waiting to find that thing that's gonna grab people's attention.
And we'll see what the U.S. carriers do to it, because we have just no idea. Remember the original Optimus G, they screwed it up on half of them.
G2 is a little bit better, similar between AT&T and Verizon, but still different.
So I don't know. I mean, that's it on the G Flex. You know, I see people saying, no, you shouldn't buy this right now. Well, you can't buy it. I mean, you can. It's $1,000.
You don't need
to spend $1,000 on a phone you can't use in the States. So, I don't know.
How are the back buttons treating you? I know they're a little different here than what we saw on the G2.
Yeah, so they have these little nubs on them, and I don't think those nubs have any additional functionality other than to feel different and feel cool. They did move the IR port to the back. So you have to, like, if you're going to use your phone as a remote, you have to hold it, you know, I'm not sure how straight up. I need to test
it. And then it's so big that it's blocking your entire field of view. So that's kind
of... Well, stop it. It's not that big. They do have this one cool thing, and I did record it, but I can't really put it out there. When Dr. Wu's awesome from LG. Love that guy. He's so much fun. Starts talking about taking selfies, and it was just so... I hate that word to begin with. It's so horrible. But he says, look, most of the time you're using your phone to try to take this picture of yourself, and it's just like, well, you can't see the screen, so you don't really know how you're lining up in it. So we turned on this face detection, and you have to enable it in the settings. So when you're holding your phone straight out to try to line yourself up in there, the volume button will glow green once you're properly in view and in focus. And then you can take the picture using the volume button. And it works okay. I need to play around with it a little more because I was at a little out of scene. But that was an interesting little thing they did. So
can I go ahead and put out the request for a series of Phil duck selfies. Face selfies, duck lips going on? I want a gallery.
Selfie shootout.
No, I'm going to give it to my daughters. That's what I'm going to do.
There you go.
That'll be the test. That'll be far cuter than if I do it.
I don't know. I want to see the Phil duck face gallery. I'd click on it. I'd click through all of them. I'm just saying. Putting it out there.
So that's the G Flex. I don't know. I mean, I assume we'll see some announcements. Maybe it's CES. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I know nothing. But
didn't they
that time of year?
Generally, sometime first part of next year. Am I making that up? Didn't someone from LG go on the record somewhere saying,
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. I just hadn't gone back to look.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure somebody did. Maybe it was Ryzen. No. I don't remember. I'm sitting here trying to take my watch off because I want to talk about that next. Ow. It's a little painful. So I finally got the Qualcomm Talk, T-O-Q.
Man, that thing looks huge.
With the Mirasol display. It's kind of big. I don't have my Pebble next to me here. I think it's a little bit bigger. The face is maybe a little bit bigger than the Galaxy Gear. But I tell you, I like this watch. It's not perfect. It doesn't do notifications quite as well as the Pebble. The display is nothing like AMOLED on the Gear. So, yeah, it feels washed out even though it's not. That's just the way it is. It's like it's trying to be color, but it's not quite color. It's
right.
Tough to explain. It's got these weird, it's not backlit, right, like a normal smartphone would be. So it's got these front lights, and you can kind of maybe see them there, these three lights that are shooting up like an old school watch, like back from the 80s. And then it's got another hidden button down here that you press to make it do things, and then it's got a capacitive screen so you can touch it. So, like, there's a lot going on, and I'm trying to decide if that's an easier UX than just the four buttons on the Pebble. I'm going back and forth on that. I'm also trying to decide if it's just different than the Gear and if that's what's throwing me off. So I don't know. It's a surprisingly nice watch, and damn it, for $350, it better be. Because it's not cheap. But, I mean, is that price just kind of a non-starter for you guys at this point? Like, even more than the Gear?
Well, especially considering that, I mean, so the Talk from Qualcomm is supposed to be just kind of a reference design for other manufacturers to do their own thing with it. And so you would expect the price to be higher. But, I don't know. It's going to have to come down quite a bit, and you know, we'll see what. I don't know how many other manufacturers are going to kind of jump on that platform, but good on them for putting it out there at least.
Yeah, the whole it being sort of a reference model, I kind of want to take the price with a grain of salt because it doesn't even seem like they're trying to sell them to consumers at this point. But yeah, I agree. At that price, I think they would have a pretty tough time. I don't, Phil, do you think it's that it sounds kind of like if we took all the smartwatches that were out there and somehow blended them together, maybe we'd have one that really hit the nail on the head? Is it because it doesn't seem, it seems like all of them have pretty big like asterisks to it. It's like, this is kind of cool, but, and then, you know, some major issues with it. It doesn't seem like it was quite nailed.
I think it's way early. It's super way early. I think I have a feeling that Samsung rushed a little bit to be the first, you know, major manufacturer to get a smartwatch out there. And there's something to be said for that. Absolutely. They did it at the cost of functionality that they're eventually going to roll out for all the gears, and, you know, some notifications will finally work, you know, the way they should. And people I know who have the update say it's great. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's way early. I think we're going to see a whole lot going on in 2014. I know a couple other manufacturers are going to bring some sort of wearables. You know, probably watches are a relatively easy and cheap way to do it, to get into the game. I don't know. With all the Kickstarters out there, you have to imagine there's just going to be a bunch of crap floating around too. I think it's a good idea. I think at some point all watches will be smart. You'll have like old school analog watches, and then you'll have just a watch, and it's just all watches will become smart watches and be able to play with everything. That's still the number one thing I'd like to see. I'd like to see Samsung do would be to open it up even more. Just because that's going to be the one thing that every other, you know, non-OEM manufacturer does. You know, Qualcomm plays good with everybody. You know, Pebble plays good with everybody. You know, and maybe not iOS, you know, and Android for every device, and I could live with that. But even if you open it up to, you know, every Android device out there, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I saw in the corner of my eye right before we started, Dennis Woodside from Motorola was doing a live Hangout Q&A thing, and I didn't hear it. I just saw little tweets that Motorola was sending, so I don't know the full context. But he said something kind of hinting that you know, they have some sort of wearable watch-like thing that they may be developing. It may have just been a vague statement, but there was something along those lines. So I'd be interested to see if that ends up being, you know, the long-rumored Google, you know, Nexus watch, whatever we've been hearing about, or if Motorola is just going off in its own direction and doing something. I mean, I guess we know Google bought that, WIM, I think, the company that made those prototypes a while back. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to know if that's all kind of moving into Motorola, or if Google, as in Google Android, is working on its own thing as well. But yeah, it does seem like one way or another next year we're going to have quite a few contenders showing up.
Yeah, I've got Jerry trying to track that down since we're doing this and we weren't watching it. It, you know, everybody's going to get into that space, I think. At some point, everyone's going to look around and be like, oh, we don't have a watch. Everybody else has a watch. We should maybe make a watch. Let's make a watch.
And then you think they're going to take off with consumers ever? You think it's one of those things people are going to chase and not quite hit?
No, I think it's still going to be a niche product. I think watches are very personal. You know, and maybe that's Motorola's thing. Maybe they have this very customizable designed watch. I don't know. In the same vein as the Moto X. Watches are such a personal thing, and it's such personal taste. And, you know, either you love them or you don't need them at all. And I can still live without them. I do miss them when they're not there, but I don't wear it like 100% of the time when I'm just sitting at home working. But it's interesting to see Qualcomm do pretty well right out of the gate as well. It's still expensive. It's still too expensive for, you know, most people to buy. I think the Gear and the Pebble are probably your two better bets at this point, even though the Gear is Samsung only. It's early. It's still way early, and we're still going to see a whole lot of changes, I think.
So here's a question. It seems like within the wearable space, you know, most people are not going to get a glass-like product and a watch because I'm guessing it's a little redundant. I know you've spent a lot of time using both. How would you compare, you know, of course they're apples and oranges, but just generally, what's the experience like having the watch versus glass?
I don't have mine to put on, Dane.
Every now and then I end up in this weird time where I have Google Glass on, plus a watch, plus a phone, and then my email's going off like on three computers, and it's just, it's like, ah, stop.
Too much cyborg.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, how many places do you need to get notifications at one time? I'm still intrigued to see how people are using Glass and to see the people who are actually using it properly. It's funny, we just started this weekly column where kind of our experiences with Glass, and Andrew and I kind of wrote about the same thing at first, and that is the experience and the feelings of walking around with this thing on your face and knowing that people are looking at you and you're going to ask questions. And we've got somebody from outside the site, I don't want to spoil it yet, have to come back this weekend and read it, writing our third piece on this, and it's actually I haven't finished reading the whole thing yet. I just started before the podcast, but it's kind of the same vein. Like, for a lot of us, being that conspicuous with this thing on our face is kind of a big deal, and it's I don't want to say a hang up, but we're obviously pretty aware of it. And I don't know. I mean, did people feel like that when they first wore watches back in the day, or I don't know, when they first got, like, what was the last non-nerdy, socially unacceptable thing people wore? Was it like thongs hanging out or something? Or
I've always been very comfortable with that.
Well, giant Reebok sneakers? I mean, like giant high tops? I don't
know. Fashion changes, right? But it still doesn't, you're not going to get over the size and kind of, you know, conspicuous looking styling of Glass. So that has to get pared down, and you know that it's, you know, technology is going to get smaller over time. But my issue with Glass is that it's there all the time. So you're looking weird all the time, but you're not getting functionality from it really all the time. I mean, other than the ability to take pictures at any given moment, which is cool and admittedly one of its better features, you're not really getting kind of the, you know, heads up display for your life kind of thing that they make it seem like it is, but you still have this thing on your head at all times. So when it gets into a thing where you start deciding that, okay, I have to actively choose to put this on for a certain thing, like Phil, you've said, you know, I'm going to go do something, Glass would be good for that, I'm going to, you know, dust it off and put it on. You know, that's not really how it was marketed to be. You know, it was marketed to be, it's on your head all the time, and then it just so happens to be able to offer you these things. And it's definitely not even nowhere near living up to that, you know, to that promise.
Well,
yet.
Not for you or me, but for a lot of people it is.
Yeah, I think that they're lying.
Oh, no.
No, I can straight up say that after wearing it days, every single day I'd leave the house, it's kind of a lying situation.
I did get, everything's falling out of the box here. I did get the stereo headset this week. I haven't actually tried it yet. I'm a little afraid to, because I know how uncomfortable one of the earbuds is, and I'm a little afraid to put two in, because I think I'm just going to start.
They're a little big and awkward,
And I'm going to try it. I need to try it. I haven't had time, been working on other stuff. But listening to music through Glass just seems like a weird and bad idea on any number of levels. First and foremost, battery, because the battery is so small in Glass anyway. Even if it doesn't use that much, it's still using more than you would otherwise. You know, with earbuds that probably don't sound as good as what I might be using otherwise. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you've already got presumably a phone in your pocket, I don't know. It seems like one of those features that makes sense to put in, but does it really add any value that you didn't already have in your life? I don't know.
And well, it kind of brought up an interesting situation of Glass is already connected to your phone over Bluetooth. It works as a headset for calls. Why, you know, why are they deciding to go with the every function needs to have its own app on Glass rather than just let me choose my music or my podcast or whatever app of choice and just stream that to Glass as if it were any other Bluetooth headset? You know, there's that disconnect there that they have to, obviously it gets confusing if they do both, but you know, we waited this whole time just to have Google Play Music. But you know, what if you use Spotify? You're waiting for Spotify to come up with a Glassware app.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe this is all just in the spirit of the Explorer program, and that we're trying something. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Now, I think they put a lot of production value into trying this stuff. But, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just we're going to spend some money, and we're going to try this thing and see what people do with it.
And, yeah, I guess that's part of the situation is all the complaints are all under the veil of you know, this isn't actually available for most people to buy. And if it was at this price, they wouldn't buy it anyways. So it's kind of, we're really, you know, beta testing, alpha testing this, you know, way ahead of any other product.
So Jerry dug up what was going on with the Motorola smartwatch thing, and here it is. Woodside, Dennis Woodside from Motorola said, and I'm not quoting directly here, but we're working on a lot of things. There's clearly going to be something that changes on your wrist. How it works and what exactly it is something that our teams are working on hard. Whatever it is, it has to compete with what works now.
Hmm.
So, no.
A lot of words to say basically nothing.
Right. So not a flat out, yes, we're working on a smartwatch.
Yeah.
No surprise there. I put the talk on upside down. That was far too easy to do.
Ow.
It's a little, it was weird. So I know we all kind of made a thing about how you have to cut the band, and then this part of the band right here, you cut it to fit, and then there's a little spring that fits in here, and then it just works. So that wasn't nearly as scary as I thought it would be, but it's still kind of tough to take off. You got to really get a fingernail up in here and pull.
So. Hmm.
Anyway, you want to do some more questions?
Sure.
Right on there. So let's see. Will 2014 be the year prepaid gets serious? Asks Tobias.
Depends what you define as serious, because I think it's already kind of at the top of a lot more people's minds than it ever has been. 2013 saw a lot of prepaid carriers kind of get out of the, you know, crazy, schemey, cheap service and more of the, you know, bring your own high-end phone to us and we can give you good service for a good price.
Sprint's been pushing it for a couple of years with Boost and Virgin. And
then AT&T's pushed it in 2013, and mm-hmm. T-Mobile always has, obviously.
Yeah, and T-Mobile's kind of blurring the lines a little bit, too, with its whole new mm-hmm. setup. Yeah. Actually, that's traditional prepaid plans. I use one of those. I'm on the $30 a month one, which is a great deal and works out really well for me. It has very few minutes, so it's not going to be for everyone. But I'll have people ask me about that. You really have to search to find it on their website now.
Yeah.
It's I don't know that last time I looked, there wasn't even any link on the main page. You almost have to do a Google search and then kind of go in and find your way to get there. So, yeah, it seems like they're blurring the lines between their regular stuff and that and kind of making their regular stuff a little more like prepaid, you know, of course, without the subsidies and that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, 2013 saw AT&T adding LTE to its prepaid networks and dropping prices and upping data limits. And, you know, it's a good situation for everybody.
Joel wants to know, flexible displays and self-healing cases aren't the next big thing. What do you predict will be the next meaningful step forward in 2014 for mobile computing? Well, I mean, back up. I don't think they're not meaningful. I don't think they're necessarily gimmicks. I just think they're overclouding maybe the message of what this phone is supposed to be. Well, maybe, and see, maybe not. I don't know. I'm still wrapping my head around it. I've only had it for 50 hours alongside everybody else who reviewed it already and knows every, you know, anyway. I think it's just kind of the next evolution. And because of the way we talk about phones and because of the way they're marketed to us as well, like there has to be this one hot feature that we talk about and that we all obsess about. Maybe that's what's bugging me. I don't know. Mike wants to know, best overall device, G2 or Note 3? JR?
Oh, between those two? You know, I don't know. The G2 is a fine phone. It's got a lot of good stuff going for it. My problem with it is that I kind of felt like it checked off all the boxes of, you know, it has this spec, great screen. But it didn't really come together in any way that said anything or did anything meaningfully different to me. I found it difficult to get excited about it. I would probably go Note 3 if you were going in that category. Best overall phone in general, I don't know that I necessarily think either. But between those two, you know, when you get in that, between those two, I'd probably say the Note 3 is the more interesting device. You know, it has its own ups and downs too, but I don't know. Would you agree?
I think they're two very different categories still.
Yeah, really.
Size notwithstanding. And I think I've said that from the beginning. I'll stick with that. Jerry Hildenbrand wants to know, could you drive a truck over the G Flex without it breaking? And will I? No, I will not. So the deal about, it takes a lot of force to push down on this thing and to make it flatten out. They say it will withstand up to about 88 pounds of pressure, which is, they say, is about the same as if you sat on it. So that's why, again, it's not like you're supposed to be bending and flexing this thing when you're using it. It's just like, here's this cool feature, here's something it can do, not something it has to do. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not an active, mm-hmm. it's not like something you're going to tap on the screen and do all the time. It just is there. Although, let's be honest, people who buy that phone are probably going to do it all the time. It's going to be the bar trick of next year if this phone takes off.
Right. Michael wants to know, do you think consumer glass will be released at the next Google I.O., and what price range do you think it should be in? Oh, I lost my background again.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say at this point. I mean, we heard a lot of things in the beginning of 2013 that indicated it would be early 2014, and they've certainly picked up the number of invites they're sending out to developers and to expanding the Explorer program. I still think if they do decide to release it that early, I hope that things are, you know, change quite a bit before that point. And then as for pricing, who knows how high they want adoption to be at first.
Yeah, it seems like the current price would be a tough sell for anything but sort of the our little geek niche that we sit in.
Yeah.
But, you know, that said, there were some, I forget who, someone a while back was saying, oh, it's going to be $200 or less. That would be a pretty big surprise to me if they did that. I mean, maybe eventually down the line somewhere. But
economy of scale. Yeah, economy of scale won't have taken over by then.
Yeah.
You're just not going to see them that cheap. I tell you what looks really cool are those, not the Jet Recons, but the, oh, I forget the snow ones they have. They have some for, like, snowboarding that fit inside goggles. Those look really cool. Kind of made me wish I lived someplace that was cold enough for snow, though I'm glad I'm not after seeing
them. Yeah, because then you would live here.
Yeah. You know, those look pretty cool, but those are still, I think those are 400 maybe?
Mm.
They're still, you know, they're not cheap. They're not going to be cheap. They shouldn't be cheap. Well, I mean, they should, but
well, they can't be at this point. I mean, especially the way that Google's doing it with the whole the projector and the prism, and you know, that's not cheap technology.
Yeah, and they're just not making that many. I mean, they've 10,000-20,000 of these out now.
Something like that. Mm. Although, didn't they just do a thing where you have it, you get a certain? Didn't they expand the invites just in the last week or two for people?
They expanded
who are
already the explorers? Invites. Yeah, they expanded the invites, and then they sent invites out to anyone with a developer account, or maybe not everyone, but a lot of people, because that's how Jerry and Marcus got theirs. So yeah, I mean, it's certainly expanding, but it's still not the scale of, you know, a million devices or 2 million or 10 million. So.
And really, how many more would they sell at $1,500 if it was not invite only? I mean, I don't think it would be a drastically higher number.
Here's a fun inside baseball question from Alex. How hard is it to keep quiet in the final days of a review embargo? It's a good question. Sometimes, I mean it depends on the device, depends on the length of the embargo, how busy you are with it. I tell you, the hardest thing is just not accidentally doing something stupid. Like posting a picture from a camera.
Yeah, or taking a picture of the desk and, you know, it has five different phones on it or something. But, I mean, you know the embargo and you know that you should actively not be talking about it. So.
Right. Oh, it kills me when people talk about embargoes. It's like the first rule of embargoes is you don't talk about embargoes. In fact, there are some companies, I won't say which ones, but there are some companies that have you sign an NDA saying you will not sign about, you know, saying you will not talk about the NDA. It's crazy. It's, you know, it's part of the game. It's part of the business.
And not just our business. I mean,
yeah,
there are reviews and NDAs and all kinds of journalism.
And then, I mean, you get weird ones like the G-Flex this week was the same way. It's like, all right, we had this press briefing on Tuesday night. There was a review embargo for, you know, this morning. But you could write anything else, just not a full review. I think there was a Nexus device like that, too.
Yeah, that's always a weird line that they draw.
Yeah, like, oh, that's right, because you and I...
Yeah, it's like you can do a hands-on with 1,000 words, but you can't do a review.
Right, you can't call it a review.
It's, you know, and just because somebody sets this embargo time doesn't mean you have to post right then. You can take your time. You can finish.
Yeah, well, I think we're in a club of a very small number of writers and publications who feel that way.
Yeah, Brian Klug and I make fun of that all the time. I don't have the new Chromecast thing yet.
Huh. Yeah, mine wasn't there last night, and then when I walked through the living room right before this, it popped up.
Weird. I'm not even going to fix it. We'll just watch.
You're not missing out on much. It's the same picture as you see a few different ones, and there's a clock. It's nice, but...
Whoa, a clock. Well, okay.
If only I had some other way to tell what time it is. A smartwatch, perhaps. What else? What else? Andy Rubin's going to do robots? Okay. That's cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Cool.
We know that he's always been passionate about that. I mean, aside from the obvious Android connotation, I'm sure you guys have read, too, about his whole history with being fascinated with it and everything.
You know, that's just another one of those things. Somebody has to do it. I'm glad somebody's doing it.
And, you know, as people who write about Android and have had him in our minds for so long, it's cool to see that he is actually staying at Google. I kind of wondered when, you know, they said he's moving on to other projects, if 6 months later we would hear an announcement that he was going here or there. So it's cool that they found a role for him, or he found a role for himself there that would keep him, you know, kind of in the family.
I wanted to ask about this Google Play Music update this week that lets you save songs to the SD card. Because for a couple, I mean, that's kind of un-Googly. I love when people call us Google apologists for saying SD cards are not necessarily the way to go.
But they're not.
and then we give reasons why. But, I mean, so it was kind of interesting to see this support come with this update this week.
Yeah. I mean, so they've always let you cache onto your device. Mm. So, I mean, do we think that part of it originally was... I mean, so the things that you get from All Access that you cache offline are, you know, garbled and encrypted or whatever. So do you think that part of that was a DRM issue in the first place of having these songs on removable storage, or?
I don't know.
I mean, I have no idea either, but I'm just trying to think of reasons why they would add that in, other than just they got thousands and thousands and thousands of complaints, and eventually they were like, okay, fine. If you shut up, we'll put it on there.
Yeah. Well, I guess then, if you consider the market share of Samsung and most Samsung devices having them, maybe they were just enough people wanted it. But
could be.
Yeah. Related question. Did you guys see the, I want to say it was All Things D report over the last couple of days about, I mean, something we'd heard about before, but new stuff about the YouTube, alleged YouTube subscription service for music?
Yeah.
I find that whole thing very weird.
And I'm still very confused as to why that would exist.
Right. It seems very, very strange to me. I mean, when the Google Play All Access just launched with such fanfare so recently to do that, then again, we've seen Google do that kind of thing before. Launch something, make a big deal about it, and then launch something else that kind of overlaps with it, and then, you know, maybe a year or two later, they somehow combine or one goes away.
Yeah. I mean, all the features that they're talking about just mirror Google Play Music pretty much perfectly, except for... you know, we're talking about music videos instead of music, but I don't know how many people that listen to a lot of music on YouTube are doing it for the videos, or they just start that video in a tab and go to the next tab and, you know, they're just listening to it and have a playlist or something. You know, is it going to be an add-on price that would just offer you videos on YouTube also? Or, I mean, another $10 subscription that perfectly mirrors it on a different property seems really redundant.
It makes sense, I think, if you think about how many subscribers there are for Vivo, and maybe that's what's triggering it, and maybe it's better to have people listening through YouTube and through Vivo than not at all, or through Spotify, maybe, you know.
True.
Just anything to keep them from using competing services. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't leave YouTube open to listen to music, but I think a lot of people do. I think we'd be surprised.
I mean, they have all kinds of metrics. I mean, Vivo is one of the biggest properties on YouTube, if not the biggest, right? So I don't see if they're going to do that. Why don't they just say, hey, we see you listen to a lot of music on YouTube. How would you like to pay us $10 a month for Google Play Music?
Maybe. I
mean, feels like a cheaper solution, but, you know, this is why I don't work at Google.
Yeah. Hopefully somebody there knows. I don't know. Oftentimes I do wonder. It seems like they're weird, separate teams working on separate things, and you kind of question if they were coordinating.
And they were like, whoa, you were working on a $20 million music deal too with all these labels. I just really had no idea.
And now we have this Beats Music thing that's ramped up. You know, again, it's another like subscription playlist music. It sounds like it's going to be maybe really cool... kind of like famous people playlists.
I'm trying to think of who tried that before.
Somebody did, and I know what you're talking about, and I forget who.
I know Twitter Music kind of tried that a little bit.
And the MySpace Ashton Kutcher thing, sort of in the same ballpark.
And I haven't read enough about this yet, so I need to do that this weekend. But you know, Trent Reznor's a part of this. It'll be interesting, but at face value, I'm just like, ugh, another music service.
Okay. And not a lot of these music services don't make, you know, the independent ones don't make a lot of money. The music, the deals with the labels are really hard to get. And, you know, we've seen Pandora struggle year after year with all the royalty issues. It's just crazy to see so many. And we saw Turntable FM just shut down. And, you know, it's obviously there's issues with that.
Turntable was great for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually when that story came out, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that thing. I remember that was a big deal everyone was talking about and then just kind of disappeared.
Remember for a long time, it wouldn't work in Chrome, I think. Or maybe it didn't work on Mac at all, is what it was. It was something weird.
Goodness.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Otherwise, we might start wrapping up.
The Droid DNA got Android 4.2 today.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it is kind of funny to see there were a few this week of random whatever level Jelly Bean updates, and suddenly it's like, okay, great.
JR, you've been actually tracking those probably better than just about anyone. I mean, are you seeing? We saw the version numbers come out last week, and we kind of got the feeling that even though it's 1.1% of all devices are on KitKat now, that's actually 1.1% of a much larger pie than say a year ago. Are you starting to see that maybe things are going in the right direction as far as getting updates out sooner? I mean, it's tough to say they're not after you see the Moto X and the Google Play editions get updated.
I think that's the key is that, the Google Play editions, of course, are one that's, you know, kind of in the same general ballpark as Nexus where Google's pushing them out. And then Moto's really stepping things up with that. I mean, they did a hell of a job with KitKat and are in the midst of doing a hell of a job with KitKat. And we can only hope that other manufacturers will follow the lead. I mean, we've got HTC promising to get KitKat out to the regular non-GPE one by early next year. And other than that, it's still a lot of vague stuff out there. Samsung is not saying a word. I just this past week, I did a new version of, I do these upgrade lists where I kind of track it and just put out a KitKat one. And yeah, Samsung's staying mum for the moment, nothing to announce. LG is pretty much the same way, nothing to announce. ASUS told me they expect to have some stuff that they can confirm in the next couple of weeks. The only kind of vague thing they said is that there should be several devices that'll be getting upgrades in first quarter of next year. But yeah, I mean, really, it's pretty much Motorola that's pushing things forward, and we'll see if HTC comes through. You know, my hope was certainly that Motorola doing this will kind of force the other manufacturers to step up their game, which I assume is what Google's after ultimately with that too.
I think that's going to do it. What about you? But an hour of me is about all I can stand. Don't answer that. Don't answer that either.
Do we want to remind people about what's coming up with CES? I know we announced that right before the show.
Yes, we just announced today that we are teaming up with John P. and Callie Lewis from GeekBeat TV and all those awesome guys in front and behind the camera to basically do some double teaming CES coverage. We're going to be live from the floor officially Tuesday through Friday when the floor is open, but obviously there's other stuff going on. Starting Sunday night is what I have on my calendar, so we'll have things coming down then. So it's just going to be insane. We'll have plenty more to talk about between now and the second week of January, but that's going to be pretty awesome. What else is going on? The Android Central app is in BlackBerry World. You can go officially download it on your BlackBerry, which is actually, you want to hear something funny? The Z10, according to Flurry, which is one of our analytics services we use, is in the top 10 devices. I think it was number 6 the other night, last we looked. Now, that's devices that are properly reporting themselves. So it's maybe not, you know, number 6 of all devices using the AC app. And we're talking tens and tens of thousands of people using it. But it was more than 10 people downloaded it for BlackBerry World in the first 3 days. So that's awesome. That makes me happy. That's my whole little, you know, don't download Android apps from these crazy websites thing is really just about, I want you to be able to download them from safe places and from places that we actually submitted our app to. I got to do a little more work to get it in Samsung's App Store. So we got rejected this morning and I'm working on that. But we're still planning on doing that as well. So
Apple App Store 2014?
I know, right?
What are the chances?
ain't going to happen. They actually asked us to quit submitting apps that included Android Central. So.
Are you serious? They actually asked. Wow.
Yeah. So
that's pretty good.
You will not find us mentioned in the iMore app, which is unfortunate.
Oh, man.
Is the way it is. So, JR, thank you for joining us. Where can we find you once again? And next time you're on, we're going to remind you to get your lower third in there.
Well, I made you.
Yeah, no worries.
Keep that on file. That works.
Now we have to have you back.
Yeah, definitely. Easiest thing is just to search for me on social network of your choice. Google Plus is kind of where I spend most of my time. On Twitter, too, if you absolutely must, you can find me on Facebook. And if you don't want to try spelling my last name, which does not sound the way it says, just go to, you can go to my personal writing site. It's JRStart.com, and links to all that stuff there.
Awesome. As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. That is the name of the website. You can buy stuff there. Please do. Supports the site.
You can buy with Bitcoin now. Sites.
Oh, that's right. You can buy it with Bitcoin. The guys had a fun time getting that working this week. And if you have Bitcoins, it's funny case. I forget what Bitcoins are worth. It's something insane, like 1,700 to 1 or something. So I was seeing the percentages of the transactions, and it's like, hey, that cost 0.0017 Bitcoins. Great, I guess. Anyway, that was fun. If you want to send us an email, you can do so podcast@androidcentral.com, or the better way is probably just hit us up live in this Q&A as we go through this. I'm sorry we didn't get to every question. There are just so many good ones and only so much time. I'm sorry. Follow us on Google Plus. JR is big on Google Plus. He's bigger than me on Google Plus, I think.
Hey, I try.
Bigger than Andrew. You were there.
So you're both massively larger than me on Google Plus, so that's not a huge accomplishment, but
I'll tell you, sexual favors on there go a long way. Your followers fast. Yep.
Well, been a busy year. I'm happy to keep my low follower count then, if that's the case.
He's right, though. He's not kidding.
No, not at all.
Well, JR, thank you again for joining us, and we'll definitely have you back again sometime. We will be back next week, absolutely. Thank you for joining us live. Thank you for everybody listening at home. That's it. We're out. See you next time.
Later, guys.